lona.
Don't forget the Bible study every Wednesday morning at 5 in the morning on
YouTube.
Prayer every morning at 5 o'clock on YouTube. And this coming Thursday, we are having our Father's Table on YouTube. And also on Facebook. Subscribe, like, share.
Subscribe or rate ibile wa belane.
Tell your neighbor, subscribe, like, share.
Bolela motho ko ga gore subscribe, like, share.
Our monthly prayer and fasting.
Tapelo ya rona la ya go itima dijo ya kgwedi le kgwedi.
Begins from the 20th to the 24th of November.
Isi mola ga di 20 go fitla ga di 24 tsa November.
It's a 6-to-6 prayer.
Ke tapelo ya 6-to-6.
And the Saturday after the 24th, which is the 25th, we have our monthly corporate prayer. I want to encourage you to attend this prayer. It's a prayer where we pray as a family. Amen, Bazalwan.
Amen.
This is where we pray as a family. Move everything. Move if mountains.
Did
you heard what Lebo was reading today? If the mountains have to move, let them move, but come to the prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Let's come together and pray. Jesus Girls Leadership Academy.
Jesus Girls Leadership Academy.
25 November.
25 November.
At 10 o'clock in the morning. There's going to be a Girls with Mom Joy. Grace Connect.
Grace Connect.
Will be on Sunday, the 26th of November. This is where I meet young people and we chill. We talk. It doesn't matter what subject it is. Well, the topics, they shift from apostolic to adulting, whatever it is that we want to talk about. This is where I come together with young people.
And
then we talk. It will be after service on the
26th.
All men will be having a brief meeting on Sunday, the 19th November. After service, we meet. Today, I want to start a new series. The title is The Covenant, the Blood, and the High Priest. The Covenant, the Blood, and the High Priest. This whole series is instigated by the book of Hebrews, which details how Christ has come with better things. Tell your neighbor, Christ has come with better things. It was a book which was written to the Hebrews who were practitioners of the law. So if you have time, just go through the book and read it. And see just what how Christ comes with new things. Now, here is the reason why I am teaching it. It is to enrich our relationship with God. Something like that. To enrich our relationship with God through a better understanding of the meaning of covenant, the work of the blood of Jesus, and the position of Jesus Christ as our high priest. As I have been going through the book of Hebrews, I have got stuck in many, many places. And I was just, maybe I should say, fascinated by how I began to see things differently. Things that I have known. Remember, Bazalwane, that when you read the Bible, you are reading about yourself. Amen.
Amen.
You are not reading a story, you are reading about you. That is what God wants the scriptures to be to each one of us. You see, when the Holy Spirit is in the scriptures and you study the scriptures, the scriptures become a mirror. And then you are reading about you. But if the scriptures become a story, you will not see yourself, you are only going to see a story. It has to be the desire of our hearts that every time you study the Bible, you know, I'm reading about myself and I'm going to see what I have to be from the scriptures. So I want to encourage you to involve the Holy Spirit in every single time you study the word. So as we will be talking, reading scriptures here, I'll be talking about who? About you. Even though I'll be telling a story, an example, but I'm talking about who? I'm talking about you. What is covenant? Okay. Now, most of the time, I hope you have realized up tonight that when I start a series, I spend a lot of time giving definitions so that when we go forward, you don't ask yourself, what is this or what is that? Okay.
Amen.
What is covenant? Covenant is defined by the dictionary as a formal, solemn, binding agreement. Yeah, formally
formal
and solemn.
A masisi.
It's a solemn, formal, binding agreement.
Get you malono,
number two.
Sabubedi.
It is a written agreement or promise. Usually under seal between two or more parties. So, meaning that the word seal means that there is something that becomes a token in the process of making the covenant, that becomes a token as a reminder, a seal, a reminder. Okay, about the agreement between those parties. Especially for the performance of some action. Meaning that there cannot be a covenant without some actions that must be performed. Now, in the Hebrew mentality, it is what they call a compact or an agreement. Because, now, I'm giving you the Hebrew mindset. Because of, when it is made by passing between two pieces of a dead sacrifice. In other words, when that covenant is made, there has to be a covenant animal or a sacrifice which must be slaughtered, cut into two halves. And the two halves are put side by side. And then you can imagine if you slaughter an animal and then you have to separate the two pieces. What's going to be between the two pieces? It's going to be blood. And the life is in the blood. So when that covenant is made, those who are making the covenant, they are going to walk between the pieces as if to say, I am binding myself to this agreement to the point of my own death. I'm willing to shed blood in performing my responsibilities in this covenant. Somebody say, I'm listening. Okay. But, and then it creates a confederacy. A confederacy is a league. It creates a specific group. It makes those in covenant to be in league, to be a confederacy, to relate.
Likoko,
something like that. You understand? It creates a confederacy based on covenant. Are you understanding how the Hebrew mindset of covenant?
Oh,
that's the Hebrew definition. Now, when we go to the Greek, covenant is defined as a contract, especially a divisory will. Now, divisory means it is a will and there are things that are going to be divided. Right, and then it's a testament. Now, a covenant,
then,
it creates a relationship between two parties that requires the highest form of commitment, even unto death. So, people don't easily enter into covenant, or if people understand what covenant is, they will not easily enter into covenant because they know the moment you use the word covenant, you are demanding the highest form of commitment, even unto death. That's what scripture takes covenant to be. You have heard many times when they marry people, and they marry a man and a woman, and then there is that last part. I promise to what, and to what, and to what, and then they say, till death do us part. Why? Because you are entering into a covenant. Tell your neighbor, marriage is a covenant. So when you enter the covenant of marriage, you can't easily say, I will divorce you.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a covenant unto death. Do you remember the other day what I said here? About the man who was on radio, the man who was asking a question for somebody on radio. And the man said, hey, what do I do if I discover I have married a witch? What did the lady say? You don't divorce. That is your... That's your witch. You pray until she changes. Because you said till death do us part. Somebody say, I hear you now. There have been covenants between brothers or people in the scriptures. Let us read together 1 Samuel chapter 18. From verse 1 to 4. 1 Samuel chapter 18 from verse 1 to 4.
Samuel chapter 18.
It says, now when he had finished speaking to Saul. I like it, Gastwana. When he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 2. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Verse 3. Then Jonathan and David made a what?
Jonathan le David ba dira eng?
He made a covenant. Why?
Ba dira kgolagano gore eng?
Because he loved him as his own. So, verse 4. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. Why did he do that? Because when people used to enter into covenant, they would exchange gifts. And they would take what is very most precious to them and give them to their covenant brother or sister or whatever it
is.
This was a covenant of brotherhood with Jonathan. That is why when after the death of Saul and
Jonathan,
David knew now the time has come for him to become
king.
But I love the wisdom of David at that time. David did not just rush to the throne. He went to God and said, Lord, where do I go? And God said to him, go to Hebron. God did not allow David to immediately go to Zion. Now, he had to conquer
Zion.
But one day we will talk about Zion, but let me just give you an idea. Zion is like a spiritual place. It's like an elevation in the spirit. It's a place of elevation in the spirit. Place of protection. Place of power, place of authority, place of grace, you know. But God said, don't go to Jerusalem where he was going to build Zion. He said, go to Hebron. Now, remember when you read scripture, you read about yourself. And so, when he got to Hebron, now you have to look at why did God say he must go to Hebron. Then you will discover that Hebron was a place of covenant. It was a place of brotherly covenant. That's the meaning of the word Hebron. It means confederacy. It means relationship. Covenantal relationship. And if you would read further, you will see that the tribes of Israel, they came to David one by one, and they made covenant with him. And they said, you are flesh of our flesh. You are bone of our bone. You are our father, our brother. We need you to be our king. And then it was in Hebron where the whole of Israel came to David. And when some of them would come, he would say to them, if you have come with malice, may the Lord deal with you. And they would say, no, not at all. We have come to make covenant with you. What were they saying to David? They were saying, we have come to give ourselves to you in covenant. We have come to agree with you that you will be our king. Whatever you tell us, we will do it. We have come to covenant with you. And it was in Hebron where David was anointed. You don't deserve the anointing if you cannot walk in covenant. Because that anointing, you will need to use it to service covenant. Somebody say, I'm listening. After David had reconciled with the whole of Israel, then they took him and he went to Jerusalem. And it was easy for him to do anything. I mean, these guys were so close, so connected to David, that even when one time he said, I lust the wonderful waters of Bethlehem, guys went and risked their lives because he mentioned it. That created deep honor. Somebody say, I am listening. But now between these two guys, between David and Jonathan, they had a brotherly, a covenant of brotherhood. So you know that after that, When Saul began to become jealous of David, he wanted to kill him. And Saul wanted to use Jonathan to trap David. He wanted Jonathan to help him trap David. But Jonathan did the opposite. He protected his covenant brother. Why? Because of covenant. Because of covenant. And then after they both died, that's David and, Jonathan and Saul.
Jonathan and Saul.
Through the passage of time, then David remembered that he had a covenant brother. And that covenant is generational. In other words, if I have covenant with you, your children are my children, and so on through the generations. And then he said, who is there of the house of Saul whom I can show the goodness of God? And they said, well, Jonathan, your covenant brother, has a son who is in Lodibar. And David said, bring him. Bring him. So
Mephibosheth,
Jonathan's son,
Jonathan,
was crippled when there was commotion and there was war. Then David brought him into his house. Mephibosheth thought that David was on a path of revenge. And then David gave a rule to Ziba, who was the servant of Mephibosheth.
He
said, everything that belongs to Saul, give it to this young man. And he said, from today, you are going to eat with me on my table as one of my sons. The man was a cripple. And David took him in as a son. Now you must remember, when they eat there, they recline. So you never see anyone's feet. He equalized him. He made him equal to all his sons. Nobody could tell that Mephibosheth was crippled. Why? Because of covenant. Yes, there was sonship there. Because that's what fathers do. You see, when you see somebody as your father, you treat them as your father, especially spiritually. God gives them grace to cover your .. Okay, let me not go ahead of myself. Let me not go ahead of myself. You see what covenant did? Let's look at Joshua chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Joshua chapter 9, verse 15 and 16.
Joshua 9.
It says, there was a nation that saw that these people are dangerous. They are really taking Canaan. They are going to overcome everything. And they pretended as if they come from far. You remember them? They called them the Gibeonites. And they came to the Israelites. Came to
Joshua.
And they said, hey, we are your servants. We come from a far nation. We've heard about how God is blessing you and how God is using you. So we want to enter into covenant with you. They said, even look at the bread. See this molded bread? With mold. When we took it, it was fresh. And they were wearing old clothes. They said, these clothes were good when we left. We come from far. And look at verse 15, Joshua chapter 9. So Joshua made peace with them. And made a what? A covenant with them. What covenant was that? To let them live. And the rulers of the congregation did what? Let me find it here. I'm trying to read from there. So there are some words I don't see. Oh, swore to them. The rulers of the congregation did what? Swore to them. What did they swear? They said, as long as God is on the throne, you shall not be harmed. We will not touch you. This is a covenant between nations. Later, they discover they were deceived. These people are just from nearby. But the covenant was binding. So even when they were attacked by other nations, Israel had to go and fight for them because of covenant. This is how covenant works between human beings, between nations. So when you look at covenant in scripture, you see covenant between people, which is individuals and nations. But you also see covenant between God and even gods and people. I'm going to make a very, very important statement. You must never forget this statement. The relationship between God and people can only exist through covenant or within covenant. God
Mudimo.
Or gods.
Kota midimo.
Yeah, midimo. Ebadimo. You know? God or gods
Mudimo kota
do
li,
not relate with people.
Li midimo hae, amane le batu.
Do not create a relationship with humans
hae tole kamano le batu.
Without covenant.
Kwante ga kholagano.
Amen.
You see, from the time Adam broke his relationship with God, the only way to repair that relationship required covenant. Let me tell you something. That's why even people in the occult, people who are spiritists, who operate in spirits, they do not, it does not just happen. There must always be a covenant between that person and the spirits or those spirits. Otherwise, they will never give him their power. That's why when we do deliverance, whether we make deliverance of a family or an individual, what are one of the things we check? Covenant.
When a family,
Halilapa,
when a family,
Halilapa,
say,
Liri,
our ancestor,
Bari,
we want to relate with our ancestor. What do they do?
Badira ingi?
Gastwana. Ibiya gastwana. Baitang?
Batlaba.
Batlaba. Why?
Huringi.
They don't know.
Abaiti.
It's just, that's the unfortunate part. They do not understand. Huri. If you tlaba,
for when you slaughter,
you are busy creating a covenant,
when udira kholagano,
a relationship,
udira kamano,
and you have obligations.
Mi wena ona le kgapeletso.
And one of the things they don't understand is that it is generational.
Ke gore yona itsa maka masika.
So even the generations which were not involved in the initial taba,
the initial slaughtering,
they are bound. Did the Bible not say that when
Abraham
gave, when Abraham tithed, to who? To Melchizedek. Who was tithing? Everybody in his loins. Levi tithed before he was born. So there are people who are made to enter into covenant because they are still in the bodies of their parents. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I agree, you know where this whole series is going. So you should not fear if you discover that they used to taba in your home.
They used to slaughter.
Because you are in a higher covenant. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to come to that, but I'm just trying to clear this. That when
you,
if you say
you
have a relationship with God, you are automatically saying you are in covenant with Him. You can't call yourself a child of God. You can't call yourself a son of God. Not even a Christian. You can't even call yourself a born again. Without understanding that on the other side, what you are saying is that I have a covenant with Him. That is how your relationship with God is defined. It is covenantal.
Woo!
So when Adam sinned against God, now listen carefully. When Adam sinned against God, Adam did not have the ability to restore his relationship with God until God initiated the restoration through covenant. See, when the covenant of man broke with God, if God did not initiate covenant, there was nothing that man could have been able to do. Man would have been lost forever. So, God began and began to initiate covenants through time in order to restore the relationship with man. The first covenant was with Noah. What was the covenant of God with Noah? God said, I will never do what? I will never destroy the earth with water. And he said, as long as the earth remains, what's going to happen? Seed time, harvest, cold, heat will always be there. So, the sun comes out by covenant. The seasons change by covenant. That's why God, and in one place, I just forget that scripture, God said this. He said, if my covenant with the day and the night would break such that the day would not come at the time and its time, and the sun will not rise at its time, then my covenant with David can break. Did you hear what God said? God was saying, if it can happen that what I said, the covenant I made with
Noah,
through Noah, that the sun will come out in the morning and go down in the night, if that covenant can break, then it is possible for me not to keep my promise to David. I don't know what they call this in language. It's like a pun. It's not a pun. I don't know what they call it. Where you say the negative in order for you to stress the positive. In other words, God was saying, look at the sun. Look at the day. It always happens the same every day. Because of that, just as much as it is consistent, I am that consistent to David. If I gave David a promise, just like the day comes at the right time, I will come at the right time. Just like the night comes at the right, I will come at the right time. I will be as faithful to David as the sun is faithful to the morning and the night. That's what God was saying. And that is the type of God you serve. Tell your neighbor, that's the type of God you serve. Remember, when I tell you Bible stories, who am I talking about? I'm talking to you. I'm not talking about David. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about God's faithfulness to David. I'm talking about God's faithfulness to who? To you. When I talk about covenant, I'm not preaching about Noah. I'm preaching about who? God saved the family of eight because of the righteousness of the father. And then he brought a flood and he restarted humanity. Then God had a covenant with Abraham. Now here, God promised Abraham to give his descendants a land. A promised land. That's why those people, they will never be annihilated. Those people up there, those Jews, Israel, it will never be wiped off the face of the earth. It will never happen. Why? Covenant. Let's read now. I'm going to
I want you to follow.
And this will be our last scripture. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1.
Genesis 15, the mana yantla.
Let's follow the story and hear how God made covenant with Abraham.
He even called
by that time he was called Abram. Genesis chapter 15 verse
1.
Let's read it together. Go. After these things. Okay, I see it there. Is it here? Okay, let's read it. Go. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, what? Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Verse 2. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? So it's like Eliezer was like a son there. Verse 3. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. He's talking about Eliezer. 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Verse 6. What did Abraham do? He believed in the Lord, and the Lord accounted it for righteousness. Okay. Let's go to 7. Go. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. 8. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? 9. So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. 10. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the two birds. Let's jump to verse 17. Verse 17. Are we there? Let's read it. And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that did what? Passed between those pieces. Last verse, verse 18. On that day, the Lord.
Lefatshe le ke lo neile losika lwa gago go tswa nokeng ya egepeta go fitlha kwa nokeng e kgole noka ya euferatsa.
Now tell me, who will take that land?
Mpoleleng ke ma katsang lefatshe le.
Tell me, who will remove those people from that land today in 2023?
Ke ma ba atlo ba tlosang mo lefatsheng le.
Now I want to show you some important things here. Number one.
Sa ntlha.
God made a promise. Two promises. I want to give you a son. I want to make you a great nation. And I'm going to give you a land. Right? Number two. No, I mentioned the two of them. The first one is about the land, the son, and the second one is about the land. Right? Number two.
When Abraham asked God, how will I know that you are going to, this land is mine, where I am. God made him give the covenant tokens. He cut the animals, put the two halves apart. But I want you to notice, he did not command Abraham to walk through the pieces. He alone walked through the pieces. Why? Because when you make a covenant with God, it is not the covenant of both of you. It is his covenant. Wena,
you,
that covenant to you, it is a will. It is an inheritance. To God, it is a covenant. In other words, because you are human, you cannot make a covenant with God like God. When God covenants with you, he says, I will make a covenant. This is what I will do for you. But for to you, this is not, this covenant is my will for you. Is my testament for you. Let me jump forward where we will go later. That is why the Bible says that a will cannot start to operate until there is what? The death of a what? A testator. The one who leaves the will. So God knew he was making a covenant with a human being who was fallible, who was able to make a mistake, and therefore he was the only one who was expected never to make a mistake. He was the only one expected to be faithful 100%. Why am I saying it? Because him after this will, when God had promised, here is Sarah coming to her husband. Ori mukhatsaka.
Are baby.
I and. It's like he was here yesterday. It's like he was here yesterday. Or muhatsak.
My love.
I understand that God said, We have a car. He's going to give us a son. Now you know. Look at me. I'm old. And she convinced her husband to sleep with the servant, Hagar. That was a mistake. God did not say that. God did not say he can grab anyone and sleep with them. God said there is going to come between the two of you. But, look at your neighbor and say, but. God did not pull back from his side of the bargain. God still remained faithful. Even if Abraham made a mistake, God still kept his side of the bargain. And you know what God did? After that, God gave them new names. He said, Abraham,
are Abraham,
to show I'm going to keep my covenant with you, I'm changing your name. I am giving you my covenant name. And there are two things that happened there. He changed him from Abraham to Abraham. Number one, when he added the ham, God added himself to
Abraham.
Because his name is
Elohim.
And he took Abraham and added
Elohim.
And he said, Abraham, who is in covenant with
Elohim.
So his name is
Abraham.
Number two, God showed that he will never break covenant with
Abraham
by taking, if you take the Hebrew alphabet, every alphabet has a number. The H that God put there in Abraham's name is the fifth letter. Is the fifth letter. And five is the number of what?
Grace.
Grace. And God said, I will be your grace.
Amen.
You see, that's why we find grace in covenant. Are you getting anything, Bazalwa? Are you beginning to get this thing now? All God asked them to do, he said, be blameless. In every generation, I want you to have a sign of the covenant, which is circumcision. But the covenant was one-sided. It was a covenant that was only made by God. Somebody say, I hear that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who am I talking about? Am I talking about Abraham here? No, I'm not talking about
Abraham.
I'm talking about you. Next week, we will look at God's covenant that gave birth to the Old Testament. And then we will pull that one and bring it to our great Savior and see how they relate. I am sure God will help us. Amen.
Amen.
I am sure God will help us. The Lord is faithful. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to pray with everyone right now.
Good to have you today, and I'm sure the Lord has spoken to you. Well, let's meet again next week. Remember, 9 o'clock, we have our service in the building. 9:30, we go live. So I would like you to help me. Just like, share, subscribe, and let's get the gospel to go viral. We want Jesus Christ to really be Lord. Until next time, from me,